Thank you very much. There was a man, they called him Mad. The more he gave, the more he had. That is the faith promise principle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we read these very well-known verses that must be remembered. Paul says to the Corinthians concerning the Macedonian Christians, "Brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power." And I like that. "They were willing of themselves, praying us that with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." They first gave the self-gift, and then they willingly gave the sacrificial gift. And then, lo and behold, they gave the supernatural gift. They gave more than they could. You know, that's what the missionary does when he goes to the mission field. He gives far more than he has to give, because God always enables. I want you to turn with me tonight to a very familiar passage of Scripture in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Last night, I mentioned that we do not have, to my knowledge, anywhere in the New Testament, though we have a very thorough Great Commission. We're commanded to go to every nation. We're commanded to teach them to observe all things in those nations. Not only that, but we're also commanded to preach the gospel to every created being. Did you ever think about the fact that God continues His creation? Preach the gospel to every creature. I believe that though our physical is inherited from our parents, our spiritual is an individual creation of God. And that every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth is a creation of God. And then once we're saved, we're a new creation of God. And old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I mentioned last night that though we have a great commission that is very thorough, and that no one is to be omitted in the preaching of the gospel, that we have not one place that I know of in the Word of God that says, go into every nation of the world and plant churches in those places. I believe there's a reason for that. I believe that it is absolutely impossible for a man to plant a church. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And I want to move quickly because I've got a lot on my heart to say in a little bit of time. If we want to serve God effectively, I think we need to join those disciples when Jesus gathered them together and asked them two questions. In chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, we read these words. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, and he asked them two questions. All of you know what they are. You've been coming to church long enough that you've heard this passage several times, I'm sure. But the urgency of the truth of this passage is no less because it's familiar. Jesus asked them two questions. The first question was what we call a leading question. It really wasn't what he wanted to know at all. He said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And in Jesus' day and today, no matter where you go in the world, when you ask that question, you get a variety of answers. And most of them are so totally wrong that they're not relevant. But Jesus used that leading question to ask the real question he wanted to ask. And he said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And we are shown in this passage of Scripture by the answer of Simon Peter the most urgent thing we need if we are going to be effectively used in any way for the glory of God. As missionaries, as church members, as Sunday school teachers, as preachers, as pastors, as evangelists, the very first thing we are going to have is what Peter said here. He said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But Jesus said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." If any of us ever expect to be used for the glory of God, the very first thing we must do is recognize the person of Jesus Christ. I often say to missionaries, you don't go to the mission fields to serve the people there. You go to serve Him. If you recognize who He is, you will never sense a sacrifice in serving Him. If He will allow you to do anything, who is He to you? And then Jesus says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock," not that little pebble called Peter, but on that tremendous, like the rock of Gibraltar. This rock is Jesus. He's the one. And he said to Peter and to the other disciples, "Upon this rock I will build my church." You must first of all recognize who he is and count it a privilege to serve him in any way, in any place, because of who he is. And then, number two, you must rely upon his promise. He said, "I will build my church." When I got to Japan, I was 21 years of age. Well, actually, I was 22. I turned 22 on December the 4th and arrived in Japan on January the 5th. I was barely 22 years old. Far too young to go to the mission field. Far inexperienced. But God did some amazing things. But when we were there, the first term on the mission field, I had the joy of working with a missionary by the name of Dave Markham, who had been there 5 months, and Don Sisk, who came about 5 weeks after I got there. And we worked together. During our first term as missionaries in Japan, all three of us new missionaries without knowledge of the language, under-supported, and God gave us five churches and a Bible college that just recently had their 48th graduation there in Japan. Somebody asked me, how did so much happen in one term? I said, well, when we got there, we couldn't do anything. So God had to do everything. And when God does it, He does it right. So the foundations that led to the establishment of at least 97 churches in Japan, and Japanese missionaries going to other countries of the world, 22 different countries serving the Lord, and incidentally, all of them receive all of their monthly support from Japanese churches. Now, I'm not bragging on myself, I'm bragging upon what God has done in Japan. I was there 3 weeks, and along with Dave Markham, we started the first church. Far too soon. You're supposed to learn the language first. But you know, there's one good thing about knowing a lot, about not knowing things. You don't know what you're supposed to do, so you just have to trust God and go. We didn't even have a place to go to church. How can you sit at home and not go to church when you've gone all the way around across the ocean to serve God? I personally don't believe that we can not go and assemble together and serve God. So I began to do as I do and begin to encourage, that's a good word for aggravate and pressure, Dave Markham, that we need to start a church. And we started, and God blessed, and people got saved. And my, what this is still great. That church is still going for the glory of God. And they've sent several into full-time Christian service around the world. Don Sisk joined us a few weeks later. And then I went with him, left Dave Markham as the leader of the first church, went with Don Sisk to a place called Osaka to the Sandy Newtown Baptist Church, which is now the largest independent Baptist church, the largest Bible-preaching church in the whole nation of Japan. Pastored by a fine, godly man who will have his 50th anniversary as their pastor in 2 months. And I'm going to be there to preach the anniversary service. I'm excited about what God has done. But then, a few months later, my wife and I felt led of the Lord. We just assumed that every missionary was supposed to be a pioneer missionary. That we weren't going over to help other people. We were going over to do what God had called us to do. And when there are no churches, you know, you need to start churches. So my wife and I went to the city of Kobe. One Japanese lady went with us. And we had an opening meeting the way we always started our churches through all the years. With an opening, we usually had it on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and then we began the church on Sunday, and it went from then on. God blessed those first two churches. In the second church we started, the first church we had 12, our first meeting. I still remember it. The second church that we started, we had 67 at our first meeting. Pastor Ogawa, who's now the pastor, got saved the first night of that meeting. Now let me do a little bit of a rabbit trail right here. The importance of godly, biblical Christian music. Ogawa came to that meeting that night, arrogant, hateful, rude, smoking one cigarette after another. We asked him not to smoke, and he said, it's a free country. I can smoke if I want to. And he said, and besides, I want to tell you, I have absolutely no interest in Christianity. I just want to practice English, and that's why I'm here. But he walked in that service. I was playing the piano. A missionary by the name of Robin McElroy was leading the singing. Don Sisk did the preaching. Had a little high school trio that I had taught how to sing from the first church we started, the Nishinomiya Kitaguchi Baptist Church. They were in their high school uniforms. And Brother Ogawa saw them and he was impressed. And they sang, "I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today." And then the congregation began to sing, and Brother, and I call him Brother Ogawa now, but he wasn't brother then. But Ogawa-san was sitting there, and they began to sing, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Yesu o shinze shiori." That's the Japanese for "since Jesus came into my heart." And he said, I was sitting there, and I was thinking, my life is a mess. I need a change in my life. I need what these people are singing about. And he said, I listened to every word of that message that night, seeking to understand everything that was said. And that night, before the invitation was ever given, I had already in my heart received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And now I'm able to sing that song and mean it, because God made a difference in my life. What a beginning that was. A few months later, we started the third church. This is within the first 2 years we were on the mission field. Don't tell anybody in the mission boards about that, because that was breaking all the rules. We went and we started the meeting. We advertised, we gave out over 50,000 brochures inviting people to come to the meeting. First night, we had Christians there from the first two churches to help us with the music and the program and everything. But not one single person came from that community. Not one new person. Needless to say, my heart was broken. But I had to keep going. So I went home that night, and through a hand printing, what we called a Gaudiband, the black ink roller. Most of you have never seen one of those. One copy at a time you made them. And I made two or 3,000 more pamphlets and went out the next day, Saturday, and went door to door and passed out more advertisements to the meeting. That night, there were three people that showed up. A grandmother with her grandchild, and the meanest child I've ever seen in my life, went up and beat on the piano while we were trying to have the service. But I was afraid to say anything. I was afraid they'd leave. And then there was a highly intoxicated man who came in, and he showed every bit of the drink that he had in him. But I was thrilled. I can still remember how thrilled I was. They came. We've got new people here. We've got new people here. But when I stood up to preach, they got up and walked out. And there I stood with a knot in my throat that I'll never forget. I couldn't just sit down. I couldn't quit. We had Christians from the other two churches. I don't know how I got through that service, but that night, got home in the middle of the night, probably 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Satan was working in my heart, and he was saying, Dave Markham can build a church, but you can't. Don Sisk, he can build a great church, but you can't build a church. And in agony, I cried out to the Lord, and I said, "Oh, Lord, why can't I build a church?" And almost as if I heard his voice, and I didn't, but it was almost that vivid, he said, "Because you're not supposed to." I will build my church. You're here to serve me. And that night, I made a commitment that kept me in Japan for the rest of my missionary life. I will build my church. See, not only do you need to recognize the person of Jesus Christ, but you have to rely on the promise of Jesus Christ. And then, let's look again at Matthew. Jesus had said to them, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I love that. You know, it's the gates of hell that we are the ones who are assailing. We're not holding the fort for He is coming. Brother Brubaker, I never did like that song. I always envisioned these westerns where the Indians were coming from every direction and they were almost gone, and then the cavalry came and rescued them at the last minute. That's not what the second coming of the Lord is. He's told us, go into all the world, attack the very gates of hell, and they will not prevail. You see, we must rely upon His promise, I will build my church. And then in verse 20, He says, then charged He His disciples, verse 19, He says to Peter and the disciples, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. If we're going to do any kind of a work or ministry for the glory of Jesus Christ, we must recognize who He is. We must rely upon Him to keep His promise. As I mentioned, that's why I like to call faith promise, my faith, trusting His promise. You see, what the real core of faith promise giving is, you give what God tells you to give in your heart, and then you trust God to take care of you. I've heard people preach, if God gives it to you, give it. If He doesn't give it to you, don't worry. That's nonsense. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You see, we trust God with all we have, and then we trust God to take care of us in every need. In a sense, when churches send missionaries to the mission field, they should be just as involved in faith as the missionary who goes to the mission field is. God is able, the Scripture says. But see, you must be ready with His provision. You know, we have a marvelous message. And if that message is properly proclaimed and properly used, it can open eternity. It can give forgiveness of sins, everlasting life to anyone and everyone who would believe. Jesus says, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. How do we do that? The keys to the kingdom, I like to call the gospel keys. Because immediately after that, in verse 20, it says, Jesus charged His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. Brother Ogle, I have never seen that on a missions conference banner. Tell no man who He is. Not yet. Because He says, I must go. Jesus says, I must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. The gospel. The gospel keys. Because the gospel, as Paul says in Romans 1:16, is the power of God unto salvation. How much power does God have? Unlimited power. All power. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, also to the Greek, and then I like to add also to the Japanese, and also to the Chinese, and also to the Spaniard, and also to the Brazilian, and also to anyone and everyone. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek and also to anybody else who will believe. We have a message that can bring eternal salvation to everyone that believeth. Brother Ching, have you ever been asked, when you go to a nation like China or Japan or somewhere like that, and they don't believe the Bible's the Word of God, they don't believe in the same God you believe in and everything, how do you reach them? I used to struggle a little bit with that, but then I realized I preach the gospel. And whether they believe it or not, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And so far in my almost 60 years as a missionary, I've never been anywhere and seen the gospel preached where nobody believed. Never have. No matter how difficult the place may be, I've never been anywhere where everybody rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power. And it's amazing how that in the middle of the devil's strongest territories, the gospel will be preached, and one or two or three will believe, and all at once, right in the devil's stronghold, this little church starts to spring up, and all the demons of hell can't stop it. All the persecution that Satan can muster up through communism and Buddhism and Islam and anything else that he can raise, he can't stop it. Because we have his promise and we can rely upon his promise because of who he is. I will build my church. The gospel keys. The gospel must be. Go ye into all the world and preach your philosophy? No. Preach the gospel. The gospel is more than a message. It's a person. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power. I declare unto you the gospel, how that Jesus died for our sins. According to the scriptures, he was buried and that he rose again. But now very quickly, I want you to move on. I know our time is almost gone. But after Peter becomes typical Peter again and says, not so, Lord, and the Lord had to rebuke him, Jesus looked at those disciples. And I think if he were here tonight in our missions conference, he might stand here and look at you in the same way he looked at those disciples. Verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him. Now I know this is not grammatically correct, but I kind of like to read it this way. If any man will come after me, let him. Isn't that amazing? The Lord will take you. The Lord took me. If any man will, an act of the will, If any man will, it's, as we say many times, the ball is in your court now. If any man will come after me, let him. But there's a decision, a self-decision. It's an act of the will. It's a denial of self. If any man will, let him come after me, but let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Self-denial, death to self, and then complete dedication of self. All I am, all I ever hope to be. Lord, it's yours. I'm not my own. I belong to you. Use me for your glory. You see, in the fourth place, not only do we need a recognition of the person of Jesus Christ and know who we serve, but we must rely upon his promise. He's never broken one yet, and he's not about to start now. And we need to be ready with his permission. We have one message, the gospel message, because that is the only thing we have that has the promise of the almighty, omnipotent power of God every time we preach it. And anyone and everyone, no matter where they are or what their philosophy of life may be, false religion, paganism, communism, whatever it may be, makes no difference. Because anyone who will believe will be saved. So, number four, there must be a response to his plea. And that's where I am tonight as I begin to close this message. Everybody in this auditorium should be willing to respond to his plea. If you recognize his person, you will be willing to respond to his plea. If you know you can rely on his promise, you will be willing to respond to his plea. And if you really believe that you can trust him and the gospel and be ready with what he has already provided for you to take to the mission fields of the world or to the neighbors in your own community, God can use you. But we need those who will respond. We need people to go. I was asked not too long ago, how many missionaries do you think there are out on the mission field that are 65, 70, 75 years of age? And my answer was, far too many. Far too many. It's true in our churches. Praise God for every faithful member who's been faithful through the years. I was just rejoicing today in sharing the testimony of my original 16 supporting churches. Pastor Ogle, out of those 16, 13 of them still support me. Do you realize that's over 55 years of faithful support? Praise God for that. Praise God for people like that. But we need more people who will respond to the plea of Jesus. If you will, I'm going to let you come after me. And if you will accept my invitation, be willing to deny yourself and die to yourself and dedicate yourself to me, I have a marvelous, marvelous plan for your life. But you must respond to my plea. If we could raise $1 million for missions this week, and there was even one who said no to the call of God to be a missionary, in a sense, we would have a failed missionary conference. The Lord, when he, do you realize Jesus Christ only had one prayer request to his disciples? And it wasn't about sickness. It wasn't about health. It wasn't about finances. He said, I want you to pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And if we do not grasp that prayer request and really pray with a sincere heart that out of this missions conference, God would call missionaries to go, if we're not careful, we would fail. We must respond to the plea of Jesus Christ. And I like the individuality. If any man will, one by one. He was looking at 12 disciples, but he said, I'm talking to each one of you. And if God's calling you to go to the mission field, don't stoop to be a king or a president. Be what God wants you to be. But be willing to respond to his plea. And then if you do that, my closing remark is that you will be rewarded in his presence. Verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. You see, the reward is coming. We will have all the ages of eternity to bask in his glory. We have such a limited amount of time, such a short life on this planet Earth to do something for him. Do you realize who he is? He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you realize that we have his promises? That we can rely on his promises? Do you realize that he wants us to be ready with what he's provided and be able to go take the gospel everywhere? And then to respond to what he wants us to do individually. The first step, I think, in response to his call is a willingness to do anything. Join Paul on his Damascus road and say, Lord, I've recognized you as the Lord of my life, so I want you to take over. Lord, what would you have me to do? A response to his plea. And then one day, you will be rewarded when you stand in his presence. As a younger man, I used to talk a lot about how I look forward to hearing him look at me at when I stand before him and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But can I give you a little confession? I kind of doubt that that will ever happen for me. I have known so many godly nationals out on the mission fields of the world that have been persecuted and given so much for their faith and been so faithful. I've come to the place, and I can say this sincerely, that I just hope that when I stand before him and look into his face for the first time, I won't see a look of disappointment. I think if he'll just look down and smile, that'll be enough. Rewarded in his presence. But until then, I want to fulfill my life as earth. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course following Him in the path that He got brought for me. Finish my course with joy. I don't want to become a grumpy old man. I've known a few. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And to finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received. And that's why I'm here. Because you see, the ministry has to go on after I'm gone. And for that to happen, some of you younger people are going to have to surrender your lives to hear His plea as He says to you, if you will come after me, I'll let you. You don't give up to serve Him. You gain to serve Him. Respond this week, if you would respond in your heart and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And I mean, Lord, I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll be whatever you want me to be. I'll give whatever you want me to give. I'll live the way you want me to live. I will totally follow you in all that you would have me to do. I learned to rely on His promise over 50 years ago in Japan in that third church that we started, and it's still going for the glory of God. Had 50th anniversary for that church recently. And God's still blessing. But I did realize that I could rely on Him to keep His promise, and I've seen it happen over and over and over. I wish I had time to tell you stories about the blessings I've seen of God when I visited China. The people that I saw come to know Christ as Savior in China. What a blessing. You know, I don't understand, and excuse me, I'm going to quit. I don't understand why everybody doesn't go somewhere. Because if I could, I'd go everywhere. And I mean that sincerely. God has a plan for your life. And this church is a part of that plan. And this missions conference is a part of that plan. And how you respond to the plea of Jesus Christ in your life will make a difference for your lifetime for His glory. Father, we do submit this service. Lord, you know how much you want the people of Emmanuel Baptist Church to give in their faith promise giving. You know how much more you want them to do in the cause of missions. Lord, you know which ones you want to be more faithful right here in their own church, and then, Lord, you know those that you want to go to the far-flung places of this world where there are people who are waiting that have never one time heard the gospel. Lord, help them to say, Lord, as David Livingston did so many years ago, Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me. Sever any tie, save the tie that binds me to thy heart. Lord, help people tonight to consecrate their life, to respond to the plea of Jesus Christ. Follow me. Follow me. Come after me. Do my will for your life. And Lord, whatever is accomplished in this service, we'll be careful to give you the praise. Let's stand together and have the pastor come to close the service.